and gentlemen, we present another in the series of air stories of the World War by that ace of all air story writers, George Bruce. George Bruce was a pioneer flyer. He knows flying. He knows the men who represented this country in the air during the World War. His stories are reflections of his own crowded life and the lives of our American war flyers in war-torn Europe. We are pleased to announce that Aces Magazine, the pioneer flying story magazine for whom George Bruce writes exclusively, has given us special permission to broadcast these stories. The day the Paris Times broke the story which surrounded the magnificent exploit over Merlaine of Eric Stephens, Michael Gold, and Terence McCoy, a reporter carried away by a rush of adjectives named them the Three Inseparables. The name swept across France and became a synonym of bravery and comradeship. But when they were first named the Three Inseparables, the gods of war must have chuckled, for no three men could have been so widely divergent in character, morals, and ideals. No three men ever hated each other more, nor would as gladly have murdered one another. Strange that these three should finally win the Legion of Honor, but the ceremony of their citation was not the beginning of the story. Stephens, Gold, and McCoy have just come back from their first battle and are listening to the CO, Captain West.
Now listen, you guys, you sure did better than I'd hoped for. The Jerry swamped us, but we got out of it, thank God. And I want to compliment the three lads who hung together in that dogfight off my port wing. That triple formation of yours saved the day for the rest of this outfit, let me tell you. You fella, what's your name?
Terence McCoy, sir.
You flew point in that charge. Nice work. And the tall fella, what's your name?
Eric Stevens.
Oh, I got you. You're the polo player. Used to be all over the newspapers. Captain of the Rumson Club team or something that beat the British Club one year. Ain't you?
Yes, Captain.
And you, Chet. I didn't get your name right either.
I'm Gold. Just Michael Gold.
Gold, huh? McCoy, Stevens, and Gold. Oh. How long have you been practicing that attack together?
Well, we've never practiced anything together, Captain. We merely found ourselves together and acted in unison.
They took a slam at them pokers, and these two guys came up behind me, and that's how it was.
You flatter us, Captain. United we stood, and divided we fell, in the words of the great American patriot. I only followed the Irishman to keep the Germans off his tail. Mr. Stephens, the big sportsman, chanced to follow. A case of three being better than one.
Well, if that's the first rehearsal, it's a good act. Keep it up. You pulled down five pockets with that attack. You three report to me later. You've done a lot for American morale this morning.
Well, seems we pulled his flight out of a bad pinch.
Say, you fool. What do you mean it was you keeping them off my tail? I don't need no kite to help me fight any battles. For you either, Mr. Gatrox. You guys stuck behind me and got the guys I knocked aside for you. This idea of Gold helping America makes me laugh, that dirty Bolshevik.
You're right, my friend, you're right. I should care about America. A country made up of saloon politicians and fog-healing Irishmen like yourself. And capitalists who rob the poor so that they can play games like Mr. Stevens. You and your patriotism.
Now see here, Gold. I've listened to your sneers long enough. Didn't you tell me that you joined the service hoping to gain fame for yourselves so that you could go back and plot your revolutions? Well, I hope you never get back. You make me as tired as this shanty Irishman with his chest-pounding boasts.
Calling me a shanty Irish again, are you, Stephen? You'll do some pounding on that stuck-up nose of yours. Maybe I ain't no university bigwig like this kite, or no 400 from Fifth Avenue. But I can knock you both into the middle of next week, and I've been aching for that chance for
you
a long
time. You should have been a cop, McCoy. Then you could strike down the defenseless all you want to. You hate Stephens because he's your social superior. You don't dare lay a hand on him. You hate me because I'm a Jew. If you ever touch me with those pug hands of yours, you'll regret it. And that goes for you too, you snob.
I haven't what a fine pair I've got to fight with. You're both a couple of swine.
I had to pick this kosher eater and smash up stuck-up fist.
I'll break your Irish neck for you if you try to. And as for Gold...
The unruly ignorant against the selfish capitalist. I hope you slaughter each other. When muscle slays money, then brains may have an honest chance in this world.
I've said you guys sneer and all I'm going to. Keep away from me, I'm warning you. Don't go trying to cop the glory for the men I pulled down after this.
A blowhard bully and a Bolshevik. I hope you both get it.
Fools. But I'll get power. I'll climb up over your rotten shoulders and show you all power. And then I'll see you both in hell.
the war make strange bedfellows. Months pass, and the three inseparables have become famous and the backbone of their squadron. But it is only chance advantage that holds them in the air together, fighting like a machine. As their fame grows, as the strain of war daggers their nerves, mutual enmity blossoms into vicious hatred. After a dawn patrol, they quarrel in the barracks.
Listen, young man, she calls Chorizo. I'm tired of your sneaking along with Stevens behind me and getting fat on the jerrys I set up for you. And that German all shot to pieces in front of me today, and you ducked in and get the credit for bringing him down. You yell a punk, I'll knock your block off.
Take your hands off my wrist. Don't make yourself any more ridiculous than nature has made you.
Ah, you're both too yellow to fight.
Yeah. Ever since we left Kelly, I've been waiting for this chance. After I smash gold, I'll start in on you, you big swell.
Take your hands off me, Irishman, or I'll kill you.
You. All you can kill is Germans I set up for you.
You set up for me? Why, you big bluff, the only reason you ever got back on the field is because I pick off the ships you miss. I'll kill you, and I mean it. That goes for you too, Stephens.
Why, you rotten Bolshevik. I'm sick of your sneers at America and at me. I'll fight you a duel anytime you say.
That's your high and mighty idea of sportsmanship, eh? Why wouldn't you fight a duel? Me, the little Jew from the sweatshops who spends his nights poring over books while you were out trap shooting and fox hunting. You know you're a crack shot. But I'll get you a smarter way. I'd like to poison you.
The kike may save me the trouble of getting you yet, Stephen. For 5 months now, you two skunks been living off my reputation. I've been hoping a pair of you'd break your neck.
I'm thoroughly sick of both of you. You big Mick, you'd have been shot to ribbons this morning if I hadn't dropped that pucker off your starboard flank. Next time, I'll watch you fight your own battle. And as for you, Gold, I know that you're plotting Bolshevism propaganda for New York. And I intend to see that it never gets back there. And if you ever threaten to poison me again, I'll see you court-martialed. This is the second time you've hinted at that. You threatened me last week. Look. What's the matter with that wine? Oh, I see. My bottle of bichloride has gone from that medicine shelf, huh? So you tried to fix me already, did you dirty little nihilist?
So the educated cake has tried to poison you to death.
That's a lie. If there was anything in that bottle of yours, Stephens, I never put it there.
Oh, no?
No. I wouldn't be sorry if you had taken a drink. But I didn't poison that wine of yours. McCoy heard me talk about it. Maybe McCoy thought he'd pull one of his smart...
You're right. I'll tear your head off your dirty neck. You put up that gun. Why, heaven... The man... The mutt tried to kill me.
Oh, you big Irishman. You're shaking like a leaf. But you almost got you. That threat, didn't he?
You make me laugh. I didn't shoot at that hog grower. I just took out the gun to see if the safety was on. It had been off by accident. The bullet went through that window behind him just by accident. Too bad. But next time
you... You three at it again, huh? I heard a shot. Now what the devil's going on here? Fighting again, huh? Ever since you've been in this outfit, you've done nothing but make trouble. But your quarreling has almost busted the morale of my men. And I'm going to break up this combination right now. Now listen. We're making a big attack day after tomorrow on Merlane. And that's the last time you three bums go up together. As for this morning, I'm doing a patrol by myself. Stevens, you and McCoy can spend a day in the guardhouse. Lieutenant Gold, I need one man. You get in your crate and come along with me.
Yes, sir.
Well, can you see, sir? The Jew goes up with West while we sit here in the guardhouse and he goes and saves West's life.
What's that you say?
Didn't you hear what them men out there is yelling? West got mobbed by a gang of hawkers and was fallen. Gold follows West's ship down into Norman's land and carries West 2 miles on his back with a jerry sniper shooting all around. That'll make that lousy Gold a bigger hero than ever. He'll be appointed flight leader for that attack we're going to make on Merlane.
Damn. It's just what the Jew wants. Get himself a big name and go back to America and start trouble for the government. Listen, McCoy. That Bolshevik has got to be stopped. We'll have to stop him.
Laugh you'll do, you yellow snob. You were scared green of
him. Well, you didn't do any scrapping when you put that slug through your hair. Now, listen. Listen, McCoy. We can finish our scrap afterwards. This time, we've got to play together. We've got to fix that murdering little Gold.
Sure, and America'd be plenty better off without him.
Exactly. The only reason he joined the service was to get power. He doesn't care anything about America. We'll have to stop his game.
Sure, and I'll beat the little rat into a pulp.
No, there's a better way. Let the Jerrys get him. Let him fight his own battle. He thinks he's so clever. It's murder in a way, but it's better than having him go back to New York to organize revolution. And it isn't a low trick like poison.
Well, what's the plan? Let's have it. I'd do anything to get even with that skunk.
The plan is simply this. When we fight over Merlane tomorrow, we'll go into our stunt attack. Very well. When we run into a mob of Germans, we'll simply pull out and let him demonstrate the hero he thinks he is.
And the Germans will do the rest.
Exactly.
Wing to wing, Gold, Stephens, and McCoy led the 108th into battle over Merlane. Suddenly the sky was filled with flashing Fokkers. Gold hurled his Fad at a pair of German ships. He does not know that Stephens and McCoy had abandoned him. Stephens and McCoy were a mile away down the sky, engaged in a terrific dogfight with a swarm of Germans who had suddenly attacked them from high above. Stephens' ship was raked by gunfire from all sides. Four Fokkers bore down on McCoy's tail as the Irishman dove to escape the fierce attack of two Germans who were riddling his flank. It was all up with McCoy and Stephens. But just as they thought they were done for, a gray Spad came roaring out of nowhere, looping, zooming, spraying hot death at the attacking Germans. Michael Gold to the rescue. Once again, the three flew wing to wing, hurled their stunting ship at the Germans. The Fokkers fell back, turned tail, and ran. The Battle of Merlane was won. Wounded and victorious, Gold, McCoy, and Stephens landed their bullet-torn ships on the home field.
By God, I thought the Germans had us that time. You pulled us out of that fire, Gold. If you hadn't come back, they'd have got us.
Gold, you saved the day. And Jerry's almost got me. I didn't think you'd ever get out of that first dogfight you was in.
Listen, you fellas. I didn't leave you in the first place. My engine cunked on that dive of mine when I got out of it, you guys was gone.
What?
I knew it looked like I pulled out on you two. But my ship went out of control, and I had all I could do to get those Jerrys off my tail. When I looked up, you were a mile away. I got to you as soon as I could.
Well, I'm sure damned this time.
I'm giving you this pay. Listen, before I went up this morning, I made up my mind I'd fight square from now on. Be the good soldier I ought to be. Yesterday, well, something happened to me, I guess. It was while I was carrying Old Man West out of No Man's Land. He was wounded badly. All the time he was on my back, he kept talking about America, his country, the land he wanted to save. Somehow, I never thought of America like that. West was babbling unconscious, but his heart still wanted to get in there and fight for America, for a land of honor and freedom. Listen, all my life I've hated America. But when I heard the skipper talking like that, well, it got into me, that's all. When I went up this morning, I determined to fly like a good soldier. I wanted to do it for West and for my country. And so I didn't try to pull out on you fellas.
You try to pull out on us? Why, damn it, I can't stand it. Listen, Gold, don't apologize to us, for God's sake. We pulled out on you. We tried to leave you in the lurch.
I'm sorry, Gold. Honest to God, I am. Stevens and me, we're trying to let the Jerry swamp you. And then you come back and save us. Oh, we sure you've done your dirt, fella.
We've all left it like fools. Well, from now on, let's fight the way we ought to fight. Stevens, will you shake my hand on that?
I sure will, Gold.
Don't mind. Hey, you three devils. Dispatch just come in for Lieutenants Gold, McCoy, and Stevens from GHQ. Advice from French headquarters. General Gouraud witnessed your air of battle this morning, and your old report to the French General Staff for citation. Looks like the Legion of Honor.
Say, boys, there's a bottle of wine in my kit.
And there'll be no poison in it, neither.
We'll fill them up and drink to the three of us. The three inseparables.
The three inseparables.
We hope you have enjoyed this dramatized story of George Bruce as much as we have in presenting it. Every month, there is a feature story in Aces Magazine by this great air-flying story writer, and your news dealer will be happy to supply you.